Guys having me. Tristan asked me, "Are you nervous?" I said, "Absolutely." It's always fun, but it's always a little nerve-wracking getting up here in front of people that watch you as a punky kid. So I appreciate you guys giving me this opportunity. We are going to be in Matthew chapter 25 today. If you'll go ahead and flip there with me. And we're going to start in verse 14. And just to, as you guys are flipping to kind of set the stage here, we are a couple days out from the crucifixion of Christ. Jesus has come in, had his triumphal entry. He cleansed the temple, ran the money merchants out. And now he's taking his disciples out onto the Mount of Olives. And we have about two chapters here in Matthew of him teaching them before he's going to go to the cross. It's kind of a last hurrah, if you will. In my mind, he's probably trying to get them as prepared as possible to do life without him. And so we're going to dig into this parable of the talents. It starts in verse 14 and goes all the way to 30, so I'm going to go ahead and read that. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So as we look at this passage, it's not a super complicated passage, which is good because I'm not a super complicated guy. You know, if you want the sermon in a nutshell, if you have attention problems like I do, we are the servants. God has delivered goods to us with an expectation to steward them diligently. And he will return someday, and there will be an accounting of what we've done with what he's given us. But this is one of those passages, at least for me, that says easy and does hard. And it's something that God has been picking on me about lately. And so that's why I decided to talk about it. I usually say when I come up here is that I preach a sermon to me, and that way at least one person gets something out of it. And if you guys are blessed by it, then God be praised. So let's dive in. And I think the first thing we need to kind of understand here as we look at this passage is the expectation of the master. The master is going for a journey, and he comes to his 3 servants, and he provides them almost a gift, as you would. Talents, that's an amount of currency. It's actually a weight. But he doesn't give them just for the servant's benefit. It's not a gift of, here you go, enjoy it, have fun, just spend it however you want, and, you know, live life, just... You know, it's not that. He has an expectation with this gift. He has an expectation of action. He expects them to steward these talents. How do we know he expects them to steward the talents? Well, when the one servant doesn't steward the talents, he's pretty harsh with them. He's very stern. We see his reaction in 26 when he confronts that lazy servant, that he's not happy with the inaction of the servant. So what's the expectation? What did the master want? He wanted these men to take what he gave them, to put in some work, put in some effort, and to use it in a way that benefited him. He wanted the servants to elevate his estate, his household. And the application to our own lives is simple. God has given us gifts, so many gifts. And he's blessed us with so much. But he hasn't just blessed us with all that we have so that we can be happy and comfortable and satisfied. We have so much of a higher calling than a life lived for our own enjoyment. God has given us all we have so that we can glorify him. And the Bible backs this up in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31. You guys have probably heard the verse. It says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all things to the glory of God. If you'll stick a finger in Matthew and flip over to Ephesians, it's a long passage, so I want you guys to read it with me. Ephesians chapter 1, this is just kind of in the greeting that Paul is writing to the Ephesians. It's so good. Ephesians 1, starting in verse 3, he says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. I love this because it sums it up so well. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He's chosen us to be holy and blameless before him. And remember, we were enemies with God, and he's adopted us as sons, and not only sons, but we are heirs with Christ. We can cry out, Abba, Father. And then it tells us why he did that, to the praise and the glory of his grace. You know, as I've worked with youth before, and one of the points I've made with them is, if God didn't have a purpose for us here on earth, then the moment we accept Christ, he could just kill us off and take us to heaven. You know, that'd be great for us, right? But he's got so much more planned for us. He's restored us and given us that relationship so that we can go out and we can further his kingdom. And so that is the expectation of the master. That is what the master wanted his servants to do, was to put in some work and to benefit his kingdom. And that's what we are called to do. So now we know the expectation, bring glory to God. Let's talk about the equipping of the master. In the parable, the master didn't just say, hey, make me money, good luck. He didn't say, just, you know, go do good things for me. But instead, he equips the servants. He gives them somewhere to start with. He provides what they need to complete their task. And we see that each servant is equipped differently. One gets a single talent, one gets two, and one gets five. And I think the connection there is that God has equipped us differently. We each have a unique set of circumstances in our life. We each have different gifts. We have different talents. We have different financial resources. We all have a different set of skills that we're given. And the passage also tells us that he gives them the money according to their ability. And that reveals that he knows these men. He knows their strengths. He knows their weaknesses. He knows what they're capable of doing. It's the same thing with us, and I love the verse in Haggai where it talked about just, oh, I'm blanking now. it talked about you don't have to worry about what you have. You know, the men looked and they saw the stones and the rocks, and they were disheartened because this is not the temple of old. But that wasn't the point. The point wasn't what we have. It's that God is going to give us enough to do what he's called us to do. And so, likewise for us, we have a calling in each of our lives. We have been called to do something. Some of that is mission work or parenthood or whatever it is, going and working in a professional life. But God is going to equip us with what we need, and we don't need to worry about whether we have the skills or the abilities, because if he's called us to it, he's going to give us those. One of my favorite sayings is not in the Bible, but it's God does not call the equipped, but he equips the called. He doesn't need us to be good at things. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need us at all. But he has a plan for us, and he knows that we benefit the most when we are living a life according to his will. I think it's so easy, kind of on this note of we each have different skills and different abilities and different resources, that it's so easy in today's kind of era of social media that we look at what other people are doing, what other people have, what other people are accomplishing, and it's so easy to feel jealous or defeated or bitter, and we allow that to hinder our progress towards what God has called us. We allow those things to interrupt our service to the Lord because we get distracted by what other people are doing. And so we need to remember that God has given us what we need. Really, we need to be living in gratitude that we have a relationship with God at all, that he has offered us restoration from our sins, and that we have an intimate relationship with him, because that's infinitely more than we deserve. I think it's also important to point out there that that the master gave his resources to the servants. I think it's very easy for us to begin to think of the things we have as ours, and we forget that they came from God. Kind of a story on the wrong way to look at this is a few years ago, we got our stimulus money, got a nice check for having kids in the mail, and I was so excited. It's like, all right, we got some money, we got some dough. I was planning all kinds of things with it. I don't remember how much it was. Let's just say it was $2,500. I don't know. So I'm excited. And then about a day later, I get a bill from some procedure that my kid had. It's like $2,485 or something. It's like, and I was mad. I was upset. That was my money. And I was not happy about it. And I pouted. I'll be real honest. I was pouting. But then it kind of hit me that if the timing had been reversed, if the bill had come first, and I had this $2,400 bill of, oh, how am I going to pay this? Like, I don't have the money. What am I going to do? And then I got the check. My attitude would have been completely different. It would have been, oh, hallelujah, praise Jesus. He came through for me. Thank you, Lord. But it's so easy to have the attitude of that first of, this is mine. And I didn't even do anything for that. I just had kids, you know? And I think we need to remember that everything we have, whether it's financial resources, whether it's our health, whether it's our skills and abilities, that comes from God. So connecting this kind of specifically, the obvious connection here is finances. We all have a certain amount of finances. We earn a certain amount of money each month or week or whatever. No matter how great or small, we have those finances. And the application is God has allowed us to acquire those things. He's given us the physical health to go out and work. He's given us the mental acuity to perform whatever task we do. Or if you've gotten money some other way, he's blessed you through that as well. And really, any money, any resources we have it because God allows us to have it. Why does he allow us to have it? Because he wants us to use it. It's a tool. What does he want you to use the tool for? For glorifying him. That's what it said. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, we do to glorify God. So we should be glorifying God with our money. That's the thing about a tool, is that it only accomplishes its purpose if you use it the way he intended. As a kid, my dad made me do chores. He was just brutal. And there would be times he would give me a broom and he'd say, sweep off the front porch. And he'd have to show me, this is how you sweep off the front porch. Sure, Dad got it. Start sweeping. He'd walk away. 5 minutes later, he would come back, and I would be sword fighting a tree, pretending to be a Power Ranger with, like, two sweeps worth of the porch swept off. That's kind of us with our money. Well, I don't know about you, but that's kind of me with my money. That passage in Haggai about putting your money in the bag or the pocket with holes in it hit a little bit hard, I got to be honest. It's like, oh. Because so often we take what God has given us and we use it for our pleasure, or we don't use it wisely and we waste it and it's gone. We get distracted by something that's enjoyable in the moment, but it doesn't produce anything beneficial in our lives or in the lives of others. And I want to clarify, there's nothing inherently sinful with us enjoying the things that money can buy. You know, we're going to go out to eat after service today, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to enjoy that. There's nothing wrong with that. Just like there's nothing wrong with a kid goofing off and sword fighting with a broom. But the issue arises is when we allow those things to become the most important thing. When we prioritize the stuff over the service, when our pleasure becomes more important than God's priorities, we have a problem. Our attitude with our money should be like Abel in Genesis. You know, he offered to God his firstborn, his very best, and he did it with a cheerful attitude. And so for us, that means we give our tithe cheerfully. But I think it needs to go beyond that. I think we need to be on the lookout for ways we can meet needs of other people, where we can bless others. And we don't do that for our own glory, but we do that to demonstrate God's love and his provision for us all. And so that first area I think we need to examine ourselves is, how are we using the financial resources that God has given us? Are we being intentional with what he's given us? I think that's kind of the obvious parallel of this passage, but I don't think it's incorrect to expand the application to other gifts that God has given us. For instance, our skills and our abilities. God has uniquely designed us. The Bible says, knit us in our mother's womb, and he's given us passions, talents, skills. And just like our finances, God didn't provide those so that we could go out there and impress people, or, you know, pick up girls or anything like that. Wrong crowd for this, sorry. But he wants us to use those skills and those gifts in a way that glorify him, in a way that bring him glory and honor. So what does that look like? Really, it's different for each and every one of us because we have different skills. We have different talents. For those of you who can cook, that means bringing a meal to someone who's just had a major surgery and providing that for her. For those of you who are mechanically or crafty, that means maybe going and helping a friend, or maybe meeting someone that needs something done, and rather than having to pay for it, you go and provide that for them. We can all reflect on the talents that we have, that God has equipped us with, and then we can seek ways to use that for his own edification. And it doesn't have to be extravagant. It doesn't have to be this big, you know, we don't have to do an extreme home makeover kind of thing. Some of the best moments, conversations, you know, God, spiritual things that have happened in my life have been when I'm sitting in a boat fishing, or playing a game of catch, or my brother and I play video games. Some of our best conversations have been while we're playing video games. I think sometimes we get in our heads that, you know, we've got to do this big thing. And it's really not that. It's all about being intentional. It's all about a daily mission-minded attitude of waking up each day and saying, God, you've given me these gifts. How can I use them for your benefit? How can I glorify you with that? Just for a few seconds right now, I just want to take a moment. Just think about the gifts you have. Think about the talents you have. The things that just come naturally, that you're just good at. Think of your spiritual gifts. I know Mr. Shell did spiritual gifts a long time. I don't know if he's covered that recently. I love studying spiritual gifts because those are like God's superpowers for us all. Think about those spiritual gifts, whether that's service or administration or exhortation, And just for a moment, consider how you can use those to further the kingdom of God. For me, I believe one of my gifts is encouragement. And there are far too many times that I have opportunities to encourage that I am distracted by things. I encourage you guys just today, as you think about those things that God has given you, to really tap into that mission mindset of, God, how do you want me to use what you've given me? What's another resource God's given us? Time. God's provided each of us an amount of time that we have here on earth. We don't know how long that is, but we do know one thing for certain, and that is we have less time today than we did yesterday. And as I was writing those words earlier this week, I got this kind of sick feeling in my stomach when I wrote those down. That makes me feel a little squeamish. Just like the servants knew that one day the master would return and there would be an accounting for what he'd given them, we know that our master is coming back. There's one day that our time will cease here on earth, whether that's through death or Jesus coming back. Come on, Lord. And we will stand before him and we will answer for what we've done with what he's given us. How are we stewarding our time? Are we using it wisely? Are we investing it into people and actions that prosper the kingdom? Are we sowing good seed with it so that God reaps the glory? Or do we sit and let time idly pass us by, wasting it on frivolities? I don't know about you guys, but that cell phone, it'll get you. And really, that's not me saying that we need to become workaholics, that we need to spend every second trying to climb the ladder, the corporate ladder. We need to ignore our loved ones, or even sometimes my struggle is at home. There's so many things that I've got to do at home that are good things, you know. There are things that need to be done. But so often I miss God's things in exchange for good things. I give up God's things and I focus on things that seem important, but they're not as important as what God has called me for. We've got to remember that the purpose of our time is to glorify God. Everything we do, every decision we make, really needs to be run through that filter of, does it bring God glory? For some of us, the best use of our time might be sitting down and having a tea party with our kids or our grandkids. Maybe taking your son fishing, even though you'd rather go in and sleep. Go ahead and sleep. It's just, again, being intentional as to what God has called us and really running through that filter of, does this glorify God? One final area, well, not really a final area, but just another area that I want to touch on, that God gives us a thing that we need to steward is our relationships. We all have been given relationships with friends, with family, with our spouses, our coworkers. God has put each and every one of us in a place of influence with certain people. How are we using that influence? Are we encouraging those around us? Are we pointing them towards Christ? Are you sharing your wisdom with those that need it? Are you humble and willing to learn from the ones that are a little bit wiser than you? God has placed you in every person that you come into contact's life for a reason, for a purpose. Are we fulfilling it? And one thing I was thinking about is, you know, it's easy for those, probably for you guys to spend time with each other and encourage each other, and because you guys are great. You guys are friendly and kind and compassionate. Sometimes it's a little harder with those undesirable people, those people that, I think of, I work at a school, so you always have those kids that, you know, are kind of smelly or a little wild or, you never know what you're going to find. And those are the kids that are the hardest sometimes to show that kindness to, you know, when they're trashing the room or screaming at the top of their lungs. But usually those are the ones that need it the most. And it's the same with us with adults too. It's just the ones that are sometimes ugly to us, those family members that have a bad attitude, those coworkers that never seem to be happy, those are the ones that need to see Jesus the most. And that's our calling. We're called to be the light of the world. We're called to be his arms and his feet, his legs and his hands. So we know the expectation of the master. We talked about the gifts he's given us, so we can meet that expectation. Let's look at the excuses of the wicked servant versus the effort of the true servant. The day comes, the master returns home. It's time for them to kind of own up to what they've done. And the unprofitable servant has wasted his time. He's wasted the resources. And he goes before his master. And what does he do? Well, he offers some excuses. And he even offers kind of an insult. As you read that, you know, let me go back to that. Verse 24, he says, "Then he who had received the one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground.'" So he offers excuses. "I was afraid. You're a hard man. I didn't want to disappoint you. I didn't want to let you down." And then he says that you scattered seed, or you harvest where you haven't scattered seed. He kind of calls him a thief there, that he's taking stuff that he hasn't earned. And then he kind of says, "Look, I've got it. It's right here. You know, I didn't lose it." If you think about it, he wasn't blatantly like sinful with it. He didn't go gamble it away. He didn't go spend it on prostitutes or anything. He had the money. He kept it safe. But the master is just not having it. He calls him wicked and lazy, and he casts him out. This kind of shows us that he wasn't a true servant at all, a true follower, because he casts him out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It kind of reinforces that idea of he is the vine, and we are the branches, and if we're truly abiding in him, we are going to bear fruit. And this servant was not bearing fruit. I think it's really easy for us to have this attitude of, "Well, I'm not doing anything, you know, intentionally bad with what God has given me. You know, I'm not living in sin that's real obvious or real blatant. And so it must be okay." But God has called us and equipped us for more than a life of just getting by. If we get to heaven and all we've done is stayed out of trouble, we've not done our purpose. We haven't fulfilled God's calling on our lives. And so the message is clear. The master calls him out and he says, "You are wicked and you are lazy." And too often I find myself being wicked and lazy and wasting what God has given me. In contrast, we have the other two servants that come before him and they say, "Hey, look, you gave me five, I got you five. You gave me two, I got you two." That word traded, there at the beginning it says, "Then he who had received the five talents went and traded with him," in verse 16. That word in the Greek is ergazomai. I definitely said that right. And it's often translated to toil or to work. So this wasn't just the servant went and made a bet on a donkey race, got lucky, and he was done. You know, it wasn't just a one day, I did it, I'm done, great. No, they were working at it. They were putting in an effort day by day. They got to work, and they used what the master had given. And how does he react? "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." And it's interesting there that he gives the same response for both servants, the one who got five and the one who got two. Both of them get that kind of thumbs up, "You did what you were supposed to do." The expectation is both unique and the same. We're all going to produce different works. We're going to produce different fruit in our lives. But the expectation is that we produce fruit. we don't need to be looking around and seeing, well, you know, this guy started an orphanage and he's doing this big thing and I'm just raising my kids up. That's not how it works. The expectation is you take what God has given you, you get a little bit of elbow grease into it, and he's going to take care of the rest. He's going to provide what you need to accomplish that goal. It's interesting there that he also gives that you've been faithful over a few, I'll put you in charge of many. The catalyst for this sermon, before I even knew I was preaching here, I've been going through this kind of time in my life where it feels like God is starting to open up some doors for some changes and some big things, and I'm really excited about it. I'm starting to do some planning, and it just, I don't know if you guys have ever been in that moment where it's like, it's coming, like it's gonna happen, it's coming, I don't know when. And there's a point where I started getting impatient. It's like, God, like, let's go. Come on, let's do this. Like, I believe you want me to do this. I think you're going to provide for it because I can't do it on myself. What is taking so long, Lord? It hasn't even been that long. It's been like 2 months. But I'm chomping at the bit. And it was in one of those moments I had this kind of this small whisper of a voice come to me. And it said, what are you doing with what I've given you now? You want me to provide just this incredible amount of resources so you can do this big thing, you can make this happen, but what are you doing with the money that I've given you now? You want to be a leader and you want to have people that are working under you and encourage them and lead them, but how are you leading your wife and your kids right now? What are you doing with that? You want to step out and be a witness to hundreds of people, but what are you doing in your day-to-day job? Are you being a witness? Are you using those relationships that I've given you? And I just kind of had this, ah, dang it, moment where I realized that why would he provide all these things to me, this grand stuff, if I'm not taking care of the little that he's given me now? And that's what he's saying. He's saying, you've taken care of what I gave you. You've used that the right way. Just you wait. I've got so much more in store for you. If we want God to bless us, if we want him to open the storehouses of heaven, and I'm not a health, wealth, and prosperity kind of guy. I'm not a name it, claim it kind of guy. But if we want God to bless us and bless the things that we're doing, we've got to handle what he's given us right now wisely. I don't want to waste what God has given me right now in this moment. I don't want to let fear of failure or laziness or a selfish, sinful attitude that this is my life and my stuff be the legacy that I leave behind. I want to be like those servants that understood that he's given this to me for a purpose. I have a mission. Let's get started. God has given us so much, and his expectation is that we use it all to the best of our ability to exalt him. So just kind of wrapping up, I want to ask some reflection questions to you just to consider as you leave from this place. Are you using your finances wisely? Are you a cheerful giver? And do you look for opportunities to use that tool of money to bless others? Have you recognized the skills and the gifts and the talents that God has given you? And are you using those to glorify him? Are you looking for opportunities to use what he's given you to bring him praise? Are you managing your time wisely? Are you sacrificing the things that are godly for the sake of things that are just good? Do you look back on the time that you spent with regret? Are you making the most of your relationships? Are you looking for opportunities to serve and to teach and to be taught? Are you treasuring the time you have with your family? Are you going through your work life, just kind of going through the motions, not looking for chances to interact with your coworkers? If you're like me, well, for me, it's like, yeah, I need to work on that and that and also that, and yeah, probably the fourth one as well. But if you have some weak spots, I encourage you just to spend some time with God the next day or so. asking him to show you how to steward what he's given you. He's blessed us with so much, and I agree with Craig. It's time. It's time that we step up and we put to use what he's given us for his glory and for the benefit of the kingdom. I appreciate you guys having me today. Let's go to God in prayer, and then we'll wrap up. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, Lord. God, we thank you for the story. God, I just pray that you help us to be like the diligent servants rather than the unprofitable one, God, that we don't let fear dominate our lives, that we don't get distracted by the things of this world, that instead we take what you've given us, we acknowledge that it's yours, and we put it to use, Lord. God, thank you for being forgiving when we fail. Thank you for cleansing us and giving us a second shot, Lord. We love you so much, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate you all.
Josh, thank you. For announcements this afternoon, we have the mission at 4:30. Kathy, do we have the bases covered and the food? Yeah. Fantastic. All right. So if you're on that, then you'll know. So 4:30, if you can be there, that's great. Yes, Jay. Okay. Yes. Sure. Absolutely.
This is just going to be extra short. I gave you a little brochure. One thing I want to call your attention to is that there is a banquet on November.